Hi, everybody. Welcome to our one-year anniversary. So I remember, about a year ago, I was like, gosh, I wonder if we'll be here again. And the answer is currently yes. So welcome to Sunday Assembly Madison. I'm Naomi, our president, because we are an incorporated nonprofit, but I am also one of the co-founders. We are a secular, godless congregation here to just celebrate life, build a community, have a good time, learn some things. And today, we're specifically here to celebrate 1 year in business. So later on in the program, I'll get to tell you about what's been going on over the last year. Okay, September 27th, 2014. This is where we were. We were in the Prairie Meeting House for our very first Sunday Assembly ever. And you can see me over here, and there's Scott McAndrews, and you can see other folks that are in the room here with us now. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about our founding story. Some of you know the founding story or pieces of it. So in 2000, this has gotten interestingly configured. Okay, 2013, January, Sunday Assembly London held its very first service. So Sunday Assembly London is who kicked off this whole shebang. Two comedians had an idea that they could have a congregation, a community organization based around being a community. And so they had their first service and it went well. And the month after that, they had another one and another one. And then eventually another town in the UK, I think it was Bristol, maybe it was Newcastle, said, hey, can we do this Sunday Assembly thing too? And the London folks said, well, sure, here's how you do it. Let us show you what you do and how you organize. And then somebody in Oxford was like, I think we could do this in Oxford too. And eventually someone in Los Angeles heard about this thing these UK folks were doing and said, oh, we could do that here in LA. And inadvertently, an international movement was born. At some point towards the end of 2013, this started being caught by higher level news organizations. And so NPR ran a story sometime in December, and then shortly thereafter, the New York Times also ran a story about Sunday Assembly. And that fateful NPR story was heard by my husband, who said, Naomi, you should go look into Sunday Assembly because I think it might be the sort of thing you've been talking about wanting. And I went on the Sunday Assembly website, I listened to the story, went on the website, and it said, are you interested in, you know, organizing in your area? Click this button, give us your info. So I did, and a couple other people in the Madison area had done the same thing or would shortly thereafter do the same thing, and that's how it started out. In February, maybe late January, we had our very first organizing meeting with three people. We met at the Madison Public Library, and it was myself, Bob Park, and Eric Snyder, and we started talking practicalities and thought, you know, maybe this can be done. We came up with a couple of to-do items, left, and met again a few weeks later, and we had done our to-do items, and I think we had found Leslie at that point. I forget when we first found Leslie. It was around that point, and we brought some friends along with us who we thought would be interested, and we put together a little organizing team, and we started meeting regularly every 2 weeks. Sunday Assembly, the international group, had given us kind of a to-do list of here's how you get ready to be an assembly and to host a service, and I'm a project manager by trade, so you give me a to-do list, and I can work a to-do list. I can work a to-do list. And so we decided we'd aim for September to have our first service because there were lots of different startup congregations who were all aiming for that September date. So we started meeting regularly. We figured out our speaker was going to be Scott McAndrew, who is a secular celebrant here in Madison. We realized we need to pick the songs and start practicing them, so we did that. And for the first service, we had four sing-alongs, which you'll notice we don't do anymore. But at the time, we had four sing-alongs, and we actually were practicing them at our organizing meeting so that no matter what happened, at least four or five of us would be singing. Then round about June or July, we also realized that, hey, if September people actually show up, then in October we're going to have to do this again. So we have to start planning for October as well. We were able to sign a rental agreement at Prairie House. We were able to get liability insurance shortly thereafter. We incorporated as a nonprofit in the state of Wisconsin. On August 3rd, 2014, the Wisconsin State Journal ran an article about us on the front page. And so we got to be interviewed by Doug Erickson. I always want to call him Eric Dougson, but Doug Erickson. You understand. And then shortly after that first front page article was published, Channel 3 also did a little story about us for the nightly news. So we got some really great publicity, which was exciting. And then on September 27th, 2014, we had our launch, and over 100 people showed up at Prairie Meeting House, and there was standing room only, and we did a pretty good show. I think back about it now, and I cringe just a little bit at all the things that we've learned since then. But considering it was our first time, and I don't know that anybody else really knows the things that I would pick to cringe about, I think we did a pretty good job. And then in October, indeed, we had another service, and then again in November. And the other thing I put on the timeline, because I thought it was momentous for us in 2014, was in December, mid-December, we had an anonymous donor give $500 so that we could submit our 501c3 paperwork. And so we were officially recognized 11 days after we submitted the paperwork as a tax-exempt nonprofit. And that was great because then we could tell our donors, hey, anything you give us is tax, you can write off. But then also it was just an acknowledgement. We were a legitimate organization doing good, you know, to the extent that the government is willing to let us do it, you know, tax-free. And so it felt very vindicating to get that paperwork back at the end of December that we were tax-exempt nonprofit. So that's our little founding story. Go for it. So we've had 12 services since then. The first one was the Secular Celebrants with Scott McAndrews. Then we had Astrophotography, John Rummel. He came in and gave a really beautiful presentation on how you capture the night sky and astral bodies and all the planning that really goes into doing that well. In November, we had Matt Hirschberg come in from the Weissman Center to talk about mindfulness and meditation. In December, we teamed up with the Madison Skeptics and the Humanist Union to put on Human Light, which was a celebration of human potential, and then a little musical talent pageant, which was a lot of fun. December, we talked about addiction and addiction recovery. In February, we had Matt Rothschild come in and talk about money and politics. We, in March, participated in the Free Thought Festival with the Atheist, Humanist, and Agnostic Human Group. We were their Sunday event for the culmination of the Free Thought Festival, which was a lot of fun. We were actually down on campus, and so we got some hungover students who also came to our Sunday service with their lattes. It was great. April, Dan Barker came and talked about his new book, Life Driven Purpose. May, we had Sharon come with her dogs. What are their names?
Dash and Savvy.
Dash and Savvy. And she told us about a behavior modification techniques that worked on her dogs, which she demonstrated, but also could work on people or corporations. It was actually a pretty interesting presentation. Then I think that was May. So then June, we had Jeremy step in and do a bee inquisitive presentation about all things bee pollination, bee migration, colony collapse. And he replaced a speaker who had to cancel at the last minute, so we're still very grateful to Jeremy. Then in July, Anita Werner came and talked about the working of local governments and how atheists were actually added to the protected class here in Madison, very first city in the nation to do that. And last month, we had Michelle Wildgen come in, a professional writer, to talk about storytelling and writing. And then here we are, 1 year later. So we've learned a lot. Like, think about all the cool stuff that we got to go over in that year of presentations. Here's some of the other stuff. that we did over the last year. Some of these are estimates, but 41 songs, that's how many songs we sang over the course of those 12 services. We've hosted 22 discussion and support groups throughout the year. I'm saying we read 3 books, because the next book club is next week, and I've read the book, and I think most of you have read the book if you're coming. It's a little too late if you hadn't, although you're still welcome to come, because you'll help us select the next book. We won about $75 at trivia. We don't have any really documentation of this. I tried to find emails, but I think we just tell each other at the service, hey, we won money. And the $75 has been subsidizing the appetizer fund at trivia. So, and I want to say that it really is only in the last like month or two that we've really started winning money, because before that we were not as good, and we've gotten better. So just so you know, it'll now be respectable if you show up to join us for trivia instead of just,
pathetic,
but like you just leave not feeling like as good about your performance as you could. And then we've volunteered about 45 hours, and that's not volunteering for Sunday Assembly, that's Sunday Assembly folks going out and volunteering at other places, doing good out in the community. So that's all the cool stuff we've done. It's all the fun stuff that we've done. We've had some struggles too, and I wanted to share those with you. So just go back, leave it there. I'll cue the next one. So one of the struggles has just been having enough folks on the organizing team to keep it all going. So I was trying to figure out how much time does it take to organize a service. And I would guess 80 hours. Of work to put on a service, because you have to find the speaker, and that's not always easy, because you have to think of, okay, who do we ask? And then once you come up with someone, then you have to ask them, then you have to explain what you're asking them to do, like, hey, Sunday Assembly is a godless congregation and we'd like you to talk about something, and then you have to do a little back and forth, potentially meet them, so that can take a little while. After you figure out the speaker and the topic, then you have to figure out who's going to be the MC, who's going to host, who's going to do the reading, what is the reading going to be, which isn't always simple, when we have to pick music, and then hopefully the musicians can get together and practice a couple times, which also doesn't always happen, but, and then you have to show up here, put everything together, set it up. Before that, I forgot, you gotta make the presentation, which is hopefully something interesting and somewhat entertaining to look at. You've got to put together the program, which changes every month based on who's coming, what's going on, and then print the program and then set everything up. So that's just the service, and luckily that's generally spread out about the across several different people. The good times are when it's spread across like 7 or 8 people. The bad times are when it's spread across 2 or 3 people. And right now we've got a bigger group of people, not the smaller group of people, so it's easier. But that's just the service. And we don't want to be just the service. If anybody asks, we can't call the service the show. This is like the entertaining, warm and fuzzy part of Sunday Assembly, but we want to do trivia. We want to go have fun. We want to do the book club. We want to go volunteer and do good out in the community. We want to be able to fundraise for ourselves and for other organizations. And so there's lots of stuff that we want to do, and the challenge is having enough folks who are willing to do it to really make us more than, again, just the service. I should have put slides in here for you, but I thought I was gonna be controlling this. another struggle that we've had is, who is Sunday Assembly Madison? Who is Sunday Assembly International? We've somewhat attached our cart to the Sunday Assembly International group. We're using their name, and that's how we all got together. But they also have a charter and a mission statement, which all of you should go look at online if you're interested. And so the question is always, is that us? You know, we get a certain amount of say as members, but not a ton right now because we aren't officially an accredited Sunday Assembly service. And then the other question is Sunday Assembly Madison. What are we doing here? You know, what do we want our mission to be? Who is our personality? What do we, you know, show to others as our definition of Sunday Assembly Madison? And a lot of these questions have been about overt atheist groups. Do we, put on here godless versus secular? There have been lots of conversations about that because godless has connotations, right? And there are two camps. Some people say godless by definition just means no deity. We're not talking about a deity here. That's all it means. So let's reclaim godless and just say we're just a congregation and we're secular. Other people say no, think of godless. That goes along with godless heathen. That does have a connotation, and some people vote to just and some people really want to, avoid those connotations because the Sunday Assembly International group specifically talked about losing out on funding, potential funding from corporate donors, because godless was actually in the mission statement at one point. And I don't know that there's a right or a wrong answer, a right or a wrong side to those two arguments. They're both true. But that's, been an important discussion, and some people really want to own and be out atheists, and some people say, well, no, but there are other people here too. There are agnostics, there are humanists, there are even religious people who are just looking for a non-dogmatic place to hang out, and it's an ongoing discussion, it's an ongoing evolution. I think that's important, and I think we're still going to have that conversation moving forward. And so the thing I would say to you guys and where we are and the discussions that we've had as the organizing team and with the Sunday Assembly folks is that people should come who as they are. As Peter famously once asked me during a very intense conversation we were having like this, can I not wear my Godless Heathen t-shirt if I'm going to be in the band up on the stage? You can absolutely wear your Godless Heathen t-shirt if you're going to be a part of the band up on the stage, because that's who you are, and that's, to censor that would be wrong. But at the same time, that's not everybody in the congregation, so we don't want to put Godless Heathen up on the sign because that doesn't represent everybody in the room. So just something I wanted to let you guys know that has been a recurring topic that we do discuss regularly, and I think we'll keep going and we'll keep figuring it out. The other thing is that Sunday Assembly, the international group, has only been around for a year and a half now, 2 years. They're really just learning how to be an international organization and what that really means. So we're going through bumps with them too. But they're a good group of people. I really like them. We got to meet them back in May. So wanted to just let you know that we are constantly also talking about, do we fit with the international group as well? And we're happy to answer questions about all of that. And then the other struggle has been, what does the service look like? So remember how I said earlier we had 4 sing-alongs and then we realized that was way too many and you'll notice we don't do that anymore? Yeah, there are other things like that. We used to call joys and concerns airing and sharing, but then we decided that sounded kind of negative. And okay, yes, churches call it joys and concerns, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to share joys and concerns when we get to the joys and concerns portion. So let's just call it joys and concerns. We talked about fundraising and whether or not we pass the hat, literally, like they do in church services. And we said, no, that's a step too far. We're not going to do that. But then there are other things that are kind of churchy that we do here. We do have the music. We do have a sing-along. We do have a, I don't know if we'll call this a sermon, but we do have, the talk. And so we're trying to find the right balance to make the service fun, to make it the show, to do all the things that people like to do, but also not to go over into the dogma world, because that's not what we want to do here. So that's still an ongoing process, and when things change month to month, that's because we're trying something new to hopefully keep it fun. Okay, and then the books. So I wanted to share our finances with you. Go ahead, click. So the good news, go. In 2015, we've had $1,662 in donations. Our current balance in the bank account is $303.85. And if you're geeky, I actually charted our revenue, and you can see it, and the green line is the trend line, and it's just barely pointing up, which is the way you want it to point. So math and statistics is telling us that we might be trending in the right order. The bad news is that yes, we had $1,600 in donations. However, about $367 of that came from the board, and $715 of that came from only two other people. And the scarier part of that is that one of those people has been covering our rent and has told us that he'll no longer be able to do that. So our financial situation is about to change because we now no longer have that recurring financial stability, knowing that the rent is going to be covered. Our current balance is $303. However, our current expense is $1,800. So we spent about $200 more this year than we've actually taken in, and we're still $303 in the black because we started out the year with $500. So last year we got some donations at the end of the year, and we've been slowly eating into some of that savings. I calculated our average monthly income at about $200, or I'm sorry, our expenses. So it's $110 to rent here. And then we have childcare expenses, we have liability insurance, P.O. box rental, and then printing of our programs, all of that. It's about $200 a month to put on the service. So if you go back and look at the $330 that we have in the bank, that means at the end of September here, if we pay for everything, did we pay September?
Absolutely.
Okay, so at the end of October, if we pay all our expenses, we might only have enough left to do half of November. Okay, so there's the good news and the bad news, and then we're left with reality. The reality is that we'll have a service in November. The folks on the board are committed to making this happen, both by donating our time, but also by donating our money. So we're here, we think this is worth it, we like it. It sure would be nice to spread that financial burden over more folks than just the board. But the reality is we'll still be here. You don't have to pay for this service. We're not going to start selling tickets or something like that. But if you do have the ability to give, I don't know, how many people are there, $10 a month or so, that would cover us. The other reality is we are a 501c3. So if you know you want to give a tax-exempt donation, we're happy to give you the paperwork so that you can write us off. And I know some folks do that at the end of the year. And we saw that last year. We got several large donations at the end of the year when we got our 501c3 status. It's because people were thinking about their tax-exempt giving. So something to think about to facilitate donations, because goodness knows I don't always have cash on me. We are also going to be doing credit card donations as well here after the services. So if you're thinking about it and you want to do it instead of having to remember and go home and do it online, we can take credit cards now at the end of the services as well.
We can also do recurring PayPal on the website.
We can do recurring stuff on PayPal too. So if you're like so many NPR members like I am, so I can ignore the recurring, you know, all the donation requests that happen 4 or 5 times a year, I just do recurring, and then I'm like, I don't have to feel guilty right now because I do this every month, and I'm going to change the channel and feel okay about that. Oh, go back one. Okay, so this is the slide that was the intro to Naomi's personal portion of Sunday Assembly. So I told you about all the organizational stuff, and I thought I'd take a moment to share a little bit about what Sunday Assembly has meant to me specifically. So some of you have heard this and some of you haven't, but my whole impetus for starting Sunday Assembly, that conversation that my husband and I were having that then later made him go, hey, you should go check out Sunday Assembly, was really about the fact that I had a 1.5-year-old at the time. I grew up going to church. I went to a church on the east side of Madison that was a real new age type of Christian congregation that thought of the Bible and religion as metaphor and parable and, you know, had some good ideas but was not to be taken literally. I can remember so vividly being on a youth trip when I was 13 or 14, and I was a dark, depressed teenager who had self-esteem problems. I was overweight, and I was just really in doubt of how anyone could love me. And I don't know how, I assume this is kind of typical of the teenage existence. But at the time I was in a really rough place and I went to this youth retreat. And at some point during the youth retreat, the message that they were saying got through to me and I realized, oh, I'm in charge of deciding my worth. I'm in charge of deciding how I feel about myself. And it wasn't any message about religion or, you know, an afterlife or being a perfect creation, you know, made in someone else's image. It was about, no, you're worthy. There's something unique about you. And I still remember the morning that I realized, oh, wait, I can just do this for myself. I can just believe this for myself. And that experience has never left me. And I still feel that way about myself. I'm going to feel how I feel about me and make decisions about me based on my perception of the world and my perception of myself. And I'm not going to let Vogue tell me what to think about myself. I'm not going to let the internet tell me what to think about myself. And that was a really important tool that my church youth group gave me. There are other things like that. We were taught how to meditate at the church that I went to, and I can't tell you how many times today I went, okay, as my 1 year or my 2 year old was hitting me, you know, but the ability to just and calm it down. I think my church gave that to me. Now, I'm not going to go to church again unless my father-in-law asks me nicely to come on Father's Day. But I want to give my son those same tools. I want to figure out how to give him that sense of centeredness, and I want to figure out how to give him a sense of greater community that doesn't involve just his family, that doesn't involve just our friends or his daycare, but the greater community that we are all a part of. That's why I started Sunday Assembly. That was the discussion that I had right off the bat. I don't think we're there yet. We don't have a children's program. We've got childcare, which is awesome. And unfortunately, my son didn't want to do that today, so I hope he's been good. I don't think he's been too loud. But we're getting there, and that is still a goal I have. However, there have been other unexpected, wonderful things that Sunday Assembly has done for me over the last year that I wasn't expecting and that I wasn't looking to have happen. So this is a picture from Shel Silverstein's The Missing Piece. It's about this little circle that rolls around, missing that wedge, looking for a wedge that fits just right, and ignore the connotations about finding your soulmate in there, which are questionable. I just thought it was a really pretty picture of contentment after he finds his peace. So many people have come up to me after service and said, thank you for doing this. I've been looking for this. Or I've been thinking we should have something like this. Or, hey, I needed this. You know, this has been really helpful. And some of those people are still here and some of them are not. But it was so gratifying to get all of those thank yous. I was hoping it would happen because I was hoping I wasn't the only one who wanted something like this, but really, I wasn't. You guys are all here because you were interested to see, hey, what's going on. You're not in this alone. There have been more than a few people, part of this congregation, who have gone through some really rough times. Illness and other sicknesses, problems with relationships, problems leaving very religious pasts, who still needed that sense of community and that sense of group. And those people, I hope, have found support here. That is, in the back of my mind, I knew we would kind of do that, but for the people who I know who have actually experienced that, wow, we're really helping some people out who could have been in much darker, much harder, much lonelier places. And I wasn't really looking for Sunday Assembly to fill that role, but now that it is, I'm really glad that that's something we're doing just by holding trivia, just by having the book club, just by being here on Sunday for other people to come. I have friends who are not part of my like peer circle now. How do you make friends usually? They're people that you went to school with, people who you grew up with, or, you know, people who work with you. And so you can get in this bubble of people that you associate with. I now have friends who are not of my generation. That's awesome. They are so much better at history or at trivia than I am. It's fantastic. And, you know, different experiences, different perspectives that I've just never had and never considered. And so learning things from other people, I mean, it's just been great to do that. And I never would have done it if I hadn't helped create this, you know, more expensive, more diverse group of people, you know, where you invite more than just the project managers, or you invite more than just the East Siders, although we're trying to not stick to the East Side so much. We're going to start moving some activities to the West Side. But I wasn't expecting that. And I've really, really enjoyed that I now have people who I call friends who don't look like me, who didn't go to the same school as me, who, you know, I don't know from, you know, being born in the early 80s. It's been a really great and wonderful addition to my circle of colleagues and friends. And then the last one, the bucket list. I've gotten to do some stuff through Sunday Assembly that I wouldn't have gotten to do in my real life. We walked in Pride just a couple of months ago now. That's been on my bucket list. Hey, I got to do that because I had a group that I could do that with. I volunteered more in the last 2 years being part of Sunday Assembly than I volunteered in the rest of my life. And that's because we had a group who we could go find something to do together and then go do it all together. I got to go down to Atlanta and go to the International Conference for Sunday Assembly as the president of one of the organizations. That was really neat. I kind of always wanted to know how to incorporate a business. I know how to do that now. If you guys have questions, it's easier than it should be. It's kind of frighteningly easy to incorporate a business. And it only costs like $30 that you have to give to the city or to the state. But, you know, that was something, again, that I hadn't considered that Sunday Assembly would do for me, that it did. It's basically a one-stop shop where you can volunteer, you can listen to good music, you can learn interesting things about bees or storytelling or astronomy. You can volunteer with them, you can read good books with them, you can play trivia, and I always show up and I always try to be the administrator of the trivia group. But you can still have fun, even if you're terrible at trivia, because you now have a group to go play trivia with. So
support groups.
And the support groups, thank you. Yes, we've had the support groups, support discussion. We do a little bit of both there. And the discussion group is the one that we're now going to start moving to the West Side as well. But yeah, the support groups where people can just come and talk about whatever they want to, whatever they need to, as just a place to be welcome. And so I can do all those things now because we have an organization like Sunday Assembly. Okay, it's been a year. What do we do now? I think we just keep doing. Go up, like, that was my picture for, let's just keep going. Let's just keep walking. There was another picture like it that were two little boys walking along a dusty road, like with their arms over each other, and I kind of debated which one I liked, the two little boys. But I think we're getting there. I mean, you know, we want to do more, and I hope we always want to do more, but I also think we're doing well. You know, we had 100 people at the first service, but that's because we had that front page article, and we had the News 3 coverage, and I don't know that we're ever going to recreate that, but we're solid. I recognize pretty much all of you, you know, from month after month. We're here for each other, and it's a good thing, and I think we keep aiming at those goals that we've got, you know, to maybe to get bigger, to maybe, you know, see if we can bring more people, to see if we can do more volunteering, to see if we can raise more money. But I also think the people that we've got, the volunteering that we do, the money that we have, it's good, you know, we're getting there. So that's what Sunday Assembly has been for me and meant for me. And as the person who's been leading us for a little while, where I think we are. And this will be my one plug. If folks want to help out on a limited term basis for the next 6 months or so, the spot of president is going to be available for a period of time while I step away and take a hiatus. I hope that I'll still be here every single month, but I don't even promise that I'll show up showered. So if anyone has been interested in helping out on the organizing team, I do fully expect to be back helping to organize and lead after life gets stable with a newborn again. But it'd be great to have a couple extra hands helping to organize. Matt's going to be having a lot of work putting the service together. So just let us know if you're at all interested in doing that. Go ahead. Okay, so that's my joy and concern as well, that if I have to step back for a little while, that how will we do while I'm away? So that's my concern that I'll share. All right, I think with that, we'll go to, this was just a cool quote that I found. Affection is created by habit, community of interests, convenience, and the desire of companionship. It is a comfort rather than an exhilaration. Demi Somerset. Okay, we'll bring out the food, do padluck time. So, yeah, let's eat.